We started by defining bhakti as parama prema rupa. Parama prema is supreme love. Prema is love. Parama prema is supreme love. Why do we have to divide in order that when the ego sense is there, when the mind is there, the mind being the divider, the ego sense being the divider, we do not assume that the division does not exist and pretend that I am in cosmic love. If one does that, then the sensual part of it, being more attractive and more tempting and more I remain there, calling that love. That is what has happened to the expression love, the word love. This seems to be more, you know, he said once upon a time that the body is made of, how much, about 80 or 90% water. Water flows down more easily than up. So the mind also tends to flow down more easily than flow up. The human personality flows down more easily than flow up. And therefore it is easy for me to say, well, I practice cosmic love, which means I let myself go and I do what I feel like doing. And that's not love, that's not cosmic love. Which means I have divided, the mind has divided everything into sensually pleasant and sensually unpleasant. Without your knowledge, the division has been made without your knowledge. And you have divided the whole world into something pleasant and something unpleasant, and the mind roams, seeks all that is pleasant, loves all that is pleasant, and says, I know, I am practicing cosmic love. In order to avoid this risk, this danger, they said in the beginning, it is better to discriminate and better to ensure that this is corrected, this imbalance is corrected. When this imbalance is corrected, eventually you will come to that stage where the division is abolished in the wake. And therefore, we said, bhakti means both division as well as union, devotion. Division first, devotion then. So, recognizing the existence of division, they recognizing the existence of the divider, which is the mind and the ego sense, they said, this is all lower forms of love, this is the higher form of love. Otherwise, the division is absurd. Why must I create a division? If I want to abolish it. I do not create a division. The division has already been created by the divider, which is the ego sense and the mind. I see the division as existing. Take note of it and advise caution. So, sattvasmin parama prema rupa, not the ordinary lukewarm type of love, but this is something is supreme love. And then this, throughout the sadhana period, throughout the period of seeking and aspiration, the seeker was asked to avoid all that is of an inferior type and constantly seek to find that which is undivided, that which is unlimited. Through the limited, try to seek the unlimited. By avoiding the limitation, try to seek the unlimited. By avoiding conditioning, try to see if you can uncondition yourself. This is the struggle. The struggle is not going to create God realization, self realization, but the struggle is against struggle, against the division. The struggle itself is against the division, not to create something new. Gauna Bhakti, we discussed it a few days ago. That is, devotion which has its own characteristics, which shares the characteristics of the devotee. Naturally, my devotion takes on the characteristics of my personality. And while practicing that sort of devotion, I am at the same time looking within to see even this is limited, even this is conditioned, even this is based on my personality, my ego sense, my mind, my own predisposition. When you become aware of that, you are gradually avoiding it. And what is called Mukhya Bhakti, the purer form of, the divine form of love manifests itself. I think yesterday I read the sutra for you. Mukhya dastu mahat kripa eva bhagavat kripa lesha adva. This mukhya bhakti, or the purest form of divine love, is possible only by the grace of the holy ones and a little bit of divine grace. It's not possible for the ego to strive to cultivate this. It is not possible for one to will oneself into humility. Humility is not possible to cultivate. We often come across exhortations, cultivate humility. But if you have tried, you might find that cultivating humility is a bit difficult. Cultivating sincerity is also difficult. How does one know one? I am sincere. Anyone who says I am not sincere, I am sincere. Even when I know that I am not sincere, sometimes I sincerely hope that it will eventually work out right. I am behaving hypocritically sometimes, but I sincerely hope that it will all, you know, eventually lead, add up to something sincere. Then you say, there is a basic sincerity. There is a superficial insincerity, but there is basically I am sincere. Basically I am honest. Basically I am humble. Underneath, under the carpet. So that sort of thing. It's difficult to cultivate humility. It is difficult to... And in the same way, it is difficult to cultivate an unconditioned love. It is difficult to cultivate unmotivated love. And hence, Krishna, when he defined, when he suggested four types of people worship me, they are the sick and the poor and the seeker. Then the last one was Jnani. Jnani is the wise person, the man of knowledge. He is devoted to God. He is devoted to God, period. There is no comma, there is no semicolon there. Adding, he is devoted to God because, not because. Not even because he knows. Mm-mm. Even that is defective. He is devoted to God, period. Boom. Can we reach that stage honestly, by self-effort? Can I reach the state of that unconditioned love? In other words, can I do total self-surrender by self-effort? Means what? I surrender myself to you. Come on. There's never a period there. You see that? I surrender myself to you. Please, will you look after me? I surrender myself to you in the hope. I surrender myself to you in the fear. I surrender myself to you in anticipation. I surrender myself to you because I know that you are great. I surrender myself to you because I know that you will grant heaven. Is it possible for me to die instantly and that's it? What happens the next moment? So that's the problem. And therefore, Narada suggested that mukhyatastu mahat kripayeva, the principal devotion, which is self-surrender, which is supreme love, which is unconditioned love, which is infinite, that is not possible for the devotee to achieve, but that can only be had by association, by God's grace, which is earned through association with holy people. And one more, we'll come to that. Not by your own effort, but by association with holy men. Why is it so? What is holy? What is satsanga, mahatsanga? And its opposite is specifically taken up for rejection. Dussangaha sarvathaiva tyajya. Avoid evil company by any means whatsoever. Again a division. Eventually you are supposed to see God in all, but as long as the mind exists, the ego sense exists, the divider exists, be careful. This is the speciality of bhakti. In bhakti, there is division and devotion. When you look within and see within yourself that there is this divider, that I still know that this is a boy, this is a boy and this is a girl. Well, you know that this is banana and this is the skin. You've not lost your cosmic consciousness. If you are in absolute supreme cosmic consciousness, why don't you put the skin inside and throw the banana? Don't do that. So when that divider is there, avoid bad company and resort to good company. Dussangha sarvathaiva tyajyaha. Why should I avoid evil company? Because that, what is evil company? That which promotes the divider. That which serves the cause of the divider. That which perpetuates division. Bhakti means both, division and devotion. That which perpetuates devotion, that which augments division, that which perpetuates division and augments division, that is evil company, avoid it. When you avoid it, then naturally you will resort to good company. What is good company? That which promotes division, devotion. That which promotes devotion is good company. And when you have avoided the evil company, which promotes the ego sense, the love of the world, and love of division, and you find that you are in the other stream, in the wake, not in the other wake, in this wake, in the wake where there is devotion, not division, you slip into this company, you must follow this very carefully. First you find yourself in division and you are there in between, in the middle. You don't want the division, right? See what creates the division. Evil company, bad company, perpetuates that division, stabilizes the division, makes it permanent. When you get out of that, you fall naturally back into the wake, devotion. And once you have fallen into that wake of devotion, then right behind you is once again the divisionlessness. It's a little bit of trick. It looks as though you are accepting the division by discriminating between good company and bad company. But it doesn't last. Once you have jumped into the wake of good company, wise company, company of devotees, then that itself becomes the abolition of the devotion, of the division. Devotion abolishes division. The common example given is a fire. You have a big heap of garbage and you set fire to it. Now you have added a new element, which is fire. The fire reduces the garbage to ashes. What happens to the fire? Must I bring something else to put that fire out? No, keep quiet. As soon as it has consumed the garbage, it goes out. So here I am introducing this satsanga as the fire to reduce the garbage of division, the mind, the predispositions and the ego sense and all the rest of it. And once that has been dealt with, what remains is pure devotion. And in that there is no division. And Narada in particular is terribly fond of this Mahat Sangha, Satsanga. Because according to legend, he became a great sage on account of Satsanga. The story is very interesting, so I will tell you in a few minutes. In his own previous incarnation, it is said that he was the son of a servant maid, and he had lost his father, and he was living with his widowed mother. Once it is said, a band of holy men had camped near or in the same village, and his mother was serving them, and so was the boy. He used to go attend to their personal needs. And probably they both belonged to the servant caste as such. And they used to clean the whole place after the holy men had had their food, meal. This is what we used to do in the ashram also. That's after Gurudev had eaten, we used to take some from his plate as prasad. And this boy had only that as the meal. He had, there was no other food in the house. So he used to clean all the whole dining room, collect all the leaves, and whatever remained, he ate. And it is said that that's also extremely auspicious. And by all this, by this service, his heart had been purified. Such is the story. And they were leaving. The holy men were leaving. And this boy went to them and said, "Please, bless me." And they said, "Yes, you have been serving us very nicely." They probably gave him a mantra. "Repeat the mantra, God will bless you." And it is said that he went on repeating the mantra day and night. And in a few days, he lost his mother. He was still young. The mother went into the backyard and she was bitten by a cobra. And she died on the spot. Instead of weeping and wailing, he felt happy. This was my only tie with the world, and even that has been snapped. And he said, thank God, he cremated her and walked away. And the rest of the life it is said that he was devoted to his mantra and his yoga. Then they said that he had a vision or something in which he was told that you would still have one more birth and then you would be continually traveling and spreading God love. You will have self-realization then. And that is the next birth, he was Narada. And therefore, I think he was specially fond of company of the holy men. If you are in their company, it is possible that all the sensuality in you may be slowly rubbed away. And it is possible that the mind itself turns without too much of a struggle. The mind itself turns to the spiritual path, turns to devotion. And so he sings the glories of satsanga, mahatsanga. Mahatsangastu durlabho agamyo amoghascha. Mahatsangastu durlabho durgamo amoghascha. The holy company is not so easy to come by. It's not so easy to come by. Truly holy company. You can have the company of the Swamis if you want. Plenty of them. You can go to Rishikesh and stay there. You'll be surrounded by Swamis. But truly holy company is extremely difficult to come by. It's not easy. And one must deliberately seek such holy company and create it. Seek such holy company and create it. Our Master Swami Shivananda used to say, if you cannot have company of holy men, an indirect satsang is what we are doing in the evening. We are having a lovely company. We have Krishna with us, we have Vasishtha with us, we have St. John with us, and you can have a couple of more, Buddha and somebody else. When you do not have direct company with the holy men, their writings and their words can act as indirect satsanga. And we go on reading the same thing again and again and again. Sometime it hits. There was a letter from Bill yesterday. And he says that I've been reading the Song of God now and then. Now it suddenly hits like a bolt. It suddenly becomes more meaningful. That's something happens in us. You don't like the blue color, and so you find a book with a blue color cover. You don't like it. You have been reading a very lovely, beautifully embellished volume of something, somebody's biography. And then you pick up a book with some small print or smudgy, funny thing. You say, oh. You're put off by the appearance. And then sometime later, when this has been forgotten, when this prejudice has been submerged, then you pick up the book again. You open the book, and a couple of lines that you read seem to relate to you at that moment, then you come back to it. Even the Bhagavad Gita, I started reading when I was 13 or 14. But every time I picked up the book, I read the first chapter. The first chapter puts you off. A list of, a list of names and a list of this thing and that he fought who fought he fought. Put it away. And then once I said, no, I'm not going to read the first chapter, I'm going to read the second chapter. Then the whole thing opens up. And once you have read the Gita a few times from the second chapter, then you come back to the first chapter, that is even more inspiring. Then you realize the first chapter is as important and as inspiring as the rest of it. So, even that is satsanga. And that is my suggestion when people hold satsanga. Don't bother. Today it is not inspiring, it is not inspiring. Today the meditation was not good, the meditation was not good. I am not going to give it up because today it was not inspiring. I am not going to stop reading the Bible, you know, you open some chapter and Joseph begat, he begat who, he begat who. All right. Today it is begat. Today it is a chapter of begat. It doesn't matter, there is still tomorrow. The next chapter may be highly inspiring, right? So I don't give up because one day it was dull and rainy. Company of the holy ones is not so easy to get, and when it is not possible to get direct company, it is good to resort to indirect company. Direct company of holy ones, says Narada, labhyate tat kripaya iva. It is difficult to attain, it is difficult to come by, and even to have satsanga, one needs God's grace. It's only by God's grace one can have satsanga. I don't know if you see a wonderful, subtle hint here. Why not self-effort? I know there are a number of ashrams in India, in Rishikesh. All that I have to do is to buy an airline ticket and go to Delhi and take a taxi, go to Rishikesh, and I'll have plenty of satsanga. Is it not possible for me to find satsanga? It is possible. But if you think you can make it possible, then something else jumps up within you. I have spent $2,000 coming all the way to India and to find a holy man. And I must find a really holy man. That's next idea, isn't it? I spent $2,000 to come here. I'm not going to be satisfied with the half a holy man. I must find a fully holy man, fully enlightened person. Now you become the boss. Instead of getting into the wake of devotion, you continue to divide. There also you are. Can you enter into samadhi? No. Great. Can you levitate? No. No good. $2,000 that I have spent? Can you teach me how to fly in the air? No. Did you come here for satsanga? Did you come sit in judgment over all these holy men? So, if you allow the feeling within yourself that this satsanga must also depend upon your self-effort, and I must go and find the holy man, you will come back like the person who wrote that lovely book called Hunting the Guru in India. Take a gun and go hunting. You find that there are no holy men at all. And you come back, you want to retrieve your $2,000 and write a book and have it published.
This was a woman?
I think so.
And she wrote about Swami Shri?
All sorts of people. There is someone else who went to see Anandamayi Ma. Probably she had some, you know, problem with her toes. And probably just that day or that week. And she must have been doing this, rubbing her toes. Nothing appealed to him. He didn't look at her. He didn't respond to her message. He didn't respond to her presence. All that he noticed was that she was rubbing her toes. A whole article on why she was rubbing her toes. That is what happens when you go with all this zeal and enthusiasm. I am going to find the holy company. Instead, labhyate tat kripa eva. Already you are on the path to surrender. This is not surrender. You recognize that such holy company, such mahatsanga, the darshan of holy men and the opportunity to serve them is also possible only by God's grace. Not because I deserve it, not because I seek it, I look for it. I can meet a guru, I can meet a holy man, and I can have an opportunity to serve him, I can have an opportunity to listen to him, not because I want it, and not because I deserve it, and not because I can make it possible, but only God's grace can make it possible. And whenever this expression God's grace is brought in, please remember, I don't know what God's grace means. It only means not because I want it, not because I makes it possible, not because I knows what all this is about. God's grace only means the I has no entry there. It's not as though the I knows what God's grace is. That's another trap. Without all, God's grace means I don't know. God's will means I don't know. So how is the company of the holy ones attained? I don't know. I cannot make